Ladies and gentlemen of Prescott, it's time for a change. We, the people of this vibrant community, demand honest, upfront communication. And now your hosts, Tony Hamer and Chad DeVries.
Well, good afternoon here. We're sitting here with Brenda Schultz and Joe Trudeau. And you guys have been interested in the mining activities on the south side of Prescott, I understand.
That's right.
So
yes.
That's the conversation we're going to have today, and we'd like to understand what's going on. So thanks so much for coming in.
Yeah.
Really appreciate it.
Yeah, we appreciate it because I think it's a big concern to everybody in town, you know, and it's great from your point of view and others and that we can share this with the community. So really appreciate it.
Good, good, good. So what have you been doing? What have you been researching? What are the biggest items that you're working on right now?
Well, I've been aware of this mine in the current operations there for, I'd say, close to 5 years. I've been aware of this old Senator Mine, which is a historic site, ever since I moved here 15 years ago.
Right.
I live nearby. I live just downstream on the Hassayampa River. Hassayampa flows right in front of my house.
Oh, wow.
On a piece of family land that's been in our family since the 60s. And I kind of know what's going on, you know. I see when things are changing and started seeing some activity going on up there, some trucks, some cutting of trees, and started just asking around. And
so you saw that around where the old Senator Mine is?
Yeah, yep. And just to the south, for the listeners, if you go out Senator Highway and you go past Walker Road, you get to a point where there's a big double switchback where the road switchbacks around mine tailings.
Right.
That's what I believe they call the Sundance site. And so I actually saw some cutting going on there. So I just walked in there and started talking to people.
Right.
And I ran into...
You saw people actually in there?
Oh, yeah.
Tens of people or 20s?
I would say more like 3 or 4 people.
Okay.
At that point. This is like 4 years ago.
Mm. Yeah.
It was... I talked to a local gentleman who, for those who've been around a while, they would recognize his name. He's been in some trouble with mining before. And I'm not going to say his name here out of respect for his privacy. But I knew right away that this had the potential to be not a fully above board sort of operation. And so for the past few years, I just sort of tracked it. Not a whole lot was happening until the last 6 or 8 months. Things have really ramped up and the public have really started paying attention thanks to this change.org petition that's going around, which now is 34,000 signatures thereabout.
Oh, wow.
So I'm now decided that I need to get more involved because the kind of reaching a critical mass in public awareness. And also, we had a toxic yellow flood come down the Hassayampa right in front of our house.
Did you really?
On January 30th.
Oh, really?
This
year, which came from their mine.
It was a reportable incident.
So we reported it to the Arizona Department of Environmental Quality, and they were aware of it. I reported it to the U.S. Forest Service and to the County Board of Supervisors. So at this point...
What was the origin of that effluent?
That's a story in and of itself that...
Well, I'm glad I asked the question.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you mind, Brenda, if I just keep going and answer that question?
Of course.
Okay, cool. So this collection of legal entities, which are all under the umbrella of Gold Paradise Peak, they've purchased a number of different properties up there, private deeded lands. One of them being the old Senator Mine,
right?
Which is visible from Senator Highway. Senator Mine was developed in the late 1800s right. and was a major producer for this region, and ultimately went out of business in the 20s or 30s because of the cost of moving.
Yeah.
Because of the cost of moving the ore. It's kind of the same old stories we're facing now, a diesel cost putting you know, a lot of operators out of business. And so since the 30s, Senator Mine has been trickling out water that is high in a number of heavy metals.
Sure.
Most significantly, cadmium, copper, and zinc.
Right.
So the Haciampa River has been on the radar of the Arizona Department of Environmental Quality. Hereafter, I'll just call it ADEQ.
Yep. Right.
It's been on the radar for a while because it exceeds the total maximum daily load that is acceptable for right. water pollution. So when Gold Paradise Peak bought the Senator Mine, I would say probably 4 or 5 years ago, they
It was about 2018.
They completed
the purchase.
Okay, great, cool. So yeah, 6 years ago, they were required by Arizona Department of Environmental Quality to deal with this discharge of acid mine drainage. And at, so it meant that the company had to solicit an environmental consultant to design a system to deal with the pollution discharge.
Right.
They designed a pollution discharge elimination system with their permitting process. And then instead of having a qualified consultant that specializes in building these, install it, Gold Paradise Peak did it themselves.
Is that the ponding they have down there?
Those ponds.
Like a bladder in it or something?
Yep. The six
we saw
ponds.
That.
Right. Exactly. So they did that themselves, and from the start, it's been kind of a mess.
Mm. In what respect?
I think they did the minimum possible job to meet the requirements of the permit and didn't potentially fully have the technical background to build these right. And so they haven't been fully capable of capturing the discharge from the mine and treating it in a 100% effective manner, as was the design by mm-hmm. the environmental consultant.
Joe, what's your background? You seem to be very au fait with the mining industry, but what's your background?
So I'm an ecologist and a conservation planner. And so I've been working in natural resources management for 25 years.
Oh, wow.
In the Southwest, the Northern Rockies, and then the Appalachian Mountains.
Okay.
So I've worked on a lot of mining issues, forestry, land management. I've worked for private landowners, nonprofits.
That's good for our listeners to understand.
Yeah, I've got a bit of background on this.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
yeah, so just to get back to answer your question, how did that flood come about? Well, you guys saw the ponds up there, which are capturing this mineral-laden water. Somehow, either accidentally or inadvertently, one of those ponds was compromised on January 29th or 30th, and it released a unknown quantity, but a very large amount of many thousands of gallons into the river, such that, you know, I live 4 miles downstream.
Right.
And it turned the river mustard yellow for 2 days.
Wow.
So it was a lot of water.
Right.
So something happened. I still haven't been able to get answers. ADEQ is not really in the mood for much conversation right now because, as I understand, they're taking legal action against Gold Paradise Peak. And so it's one of these things where government agencies don't comment on pending litigation. You know? Yeah. So one of those holding vessels was compromised.
One of the six holding vessels there. And
that's what I
probably
think.
Probably the liner split or something like that.
Yeah, or, you know, those guys have been up there opening and closing that old mine shaft multiple times.
Yeah.
Motoring all around with, you know, like a big, like a D7 Cat dozer, excavators, all sorts of equipment. You know, like, if I could see, and I'm speculating here, but I could see if one of those pawns was in their way, they would have just said to hell with it, just pushed it out of the way for a minute.
It looked like they plugged up the original mine there, didn't it? Like they did something over there. There's a lot of earth movement right now.
Yeah. Right, and they have closed it and opened that a couple times now.
Have you talked to the mine inspector, Paul Marsh? Because we have a call in to him, and he's supposed to get back to us by the end of the month. But he went out there not too long ago, and of course he couldn't find anybody.
I had a meeting with Paul Marsh. My county supervisor, Mary Mallory, get that meeting.
Mary's great.
Mary is great.
Uh-huh. I spoke to Paul probably 10 days ago, something like that, and had a very good conversation with him.
Yeah.
He seems like somebody we can deal with and somebody out of the government that really has his pulse on what's going on here.
We'd
like to know more, so we're very encouraged that inspector is getting really involved.
Yeah. He struck me as a common sense, straight shooter type.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing that everyone, I think, needs to understand is each of the oversight and regulatory agencies involved here has a fairly narrow range where they can initiate enforcement actions. And that is largely a result of just Arizona, for a long time, being a very pro-mining state. Mining is a major part of our economy.
Right.
So the laws aren't very strong. And so the jurisdictional oversight capabilities of whether it's ADEQ or the state mine inspector are fairly narrowly constrained.
Right.
And so the mine inspector has a specific job. And water pollution isn't really that job.
Right.
And so
that goes to ADEQ instead.
Yeah. And so a lot of people think, oh, there's going to be a silver bullet out there. And I've been working in environmental law and policy for a long time, and this is a real tough one. There's no silver bullet with this. Yeah. That's why we got to just get everyone fired up.
What are your major concerns as you sit here today in terms of the potential reopening of the old Senator mine?
Brenda, you live closer than I do, so why don't you?
Do you really?
I do. So my husband and I, we moved here last June from Nebraska.
Okay.
And we
brought some good corn husks with you.
We did. We're big Husker fans. And we bought a place initially, a little cabin in Groom Creek.
Okay.
And which we're remodeling, and then we bought a permanent home on Spruce Mountain.
Right.
And didn't realize that every time I drive up Spruce Mountain Road, when I look to the south, there's Mount Tridal.
Right.
I think part of the concern for us that live close there is, one, a lot of folks didn't know what was going on, so there wasn't a very good public awareness from what I've gathered from other folks.
Mm-hmm.
The other concern is when you look south from downtown Prescott, right outside the windows here, the mountainscape, Mount Tridal, is the tallest and the most prominent mountain.
Right.
And, you know, eventually, if this proceeds to what Gold Paradise Peak has said they want to do with strip mining, it basically just cuts that peak off.
Wow.
So some folks have said, well, there's mines all over. You know, what's the big deal? And we understand that mining is huge around here. But the difference is that they want to strip mine. So they want to strip away. If you think of pulling a Band-Aid or a strip off something, they want to strip all the natural resources. There's beautiful aspens and different trees.
I know that we went up there a couple weeks ago. The vegetation, you feel like you're in Colorado.
It is phenomenal.
It is so lush and beautiful back there.
Yes.
It is.
The biggest trees I've ever seen.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
And so I guess the concern is that, of course, everything on the mountain flows downhill.
Mm-hmm.
So they have purchased 415 acres, mm-hmm. with over 1,000 mining claims.
1,000 acres.
1,000 acres of mining claims that are pending. So if you...
So you've concentrated just on the old Senator mine and the area around there, which includes about 6 or 7 major mines as well, or old mines. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I could describe that, the sort of spatial layout of this, and this is what a lot of people aren't clear on.
But I think the other concern, just to finish your question, is the water. So the Hassayampa River, even though it's beautiful for us, it flows into other rivers clear over into the Colorado River.
Right.
So any pollution into the water is concerning because we all have wells that we rely on for drinking, bathing. And then you have the swimming areas, the Hassayampa Lake, et cetera. And folks come from all over the United States to our beautiful area.
Right.
For the nature. And so I guess there's a lot of concern of just the vegetation, the animals, really being destroyed because of this on the top of the mountain from Gold Paradise Peak.
Well, we see that happen with the fire we just had too, you know, where it's taking out all that land and then you get the rains and heavy rains and it just takes out everything.
Right.
Yeah.
You need that out there.
Joe, you had some comments on the other mines around Old Senator.
Yeah. Maybe first can I just take a add to what Brenda said, just to some of my concerns.
There's no control here.
Cool. We're going with the flow.
That's right.
Yeah. So, like I said, my background is in natural resources management. So I understand a lot about the ecosystems up there and the wildlife. And it's my backyard too.
Right.
Or my front yard. Brenda's concerns are spot on. The forest, the wildlife, the water quality, where that water is going and some of the downstream impacts, who would be impacted. So to provide some more specifics, really drilling into that. So Chad, you just commented on how nice the forest is. So, so that forest type is what's in our field is called mixed conifer forest.
Mm-hmm.
So it has a variety of different conifer species, ponderosa pine, white fir, Douglas fir, plus some aspen and some other species. And that is it's a very small proportion of Arizona is mixed conifer forest. And it's a declining proportion largely because of some of these big fires that are burning up, you know, many tens of thousands of acres of these higher elevation forests. That forest is the preferred habitat for the Mexican spotted owl, which is a species protected by the Endangered Species Act.
Right.
And there are, depending on the year, between, 6 and 10 different pairs of owls that actually nest up there in that area. So this is a critical mountain range to the survival of species protected under the Endangered Species Act. And so their proposal, which would potentially strip 800 acres to 1,000, maybe more acres of forest, will have a very significant impact on that one species. And then with the water...
Now, just one sec.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about strip mining and taking the top off Tritle and stuff like that. But where's the evidence that they're really going to do that? We've looked extensively and we haven't seen a plan for 1,000 acres, for example.
Well, that's a good question. When did you go to their website?
We went to their website.
We saw the new one.
We've got the old one.
We have the old one too.
Okay, yeah, because they recently scrubbed. You get a 404 error when you try to find their plans for.
We saw that, but then we had some other information from their old website as well.
Yeah, so on the older website, it had some. It described their intentions to potentially go down 900 feet. I think that's where the origin of the 800 acres came from, was that website. They've since acquired all collectively 1,400 acres, if you include the mining claims on Forest Service land.
Right.
So I don't know if you guys saw, I was on the CBS Channel 5 News in Phoenix last week, and one of the things that I said was there's a lot of facts out there and there's a lot of speculation.
That's right.
And this is what I've said with our...
That's why you're here, guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this we're is what trying I, to get to what yeah. the real information is.
Right. And right. so there's certainly a case of concerned local people kind of fearing the worst case scenario.
Sure.
Which is fair game.
Right.
But when you go up there right now, you don't see Armageddon. You see a few fairly small constrained sites.
On the back side by Dunkirk Mine.
Yeah, we saw that one too.
Yeah.
So when you look from the front and you go out there, it's like, well, what's the big deal? But you have to go back around. It's almost like a big green puzzle. Mm-hmm. And there's if you take like a chunk out mm-hmm. and it's beige and then another chunk out, I mean, that's kind of what right. it looked like to me.
Right. Yeah. Like right. their existing operations are kind of at the periphery of this 1,400 mm-hmm. acre block. But my experience when you have a mining company purchase land and then establish claim Forest Service mining claims around it, they're not acquiring those claims just for the sake of it. Like their vision includes that amount of land. And so
the uncertainty is so big for the mining company in terms of where the real rich veins are within that territory.
Yeah, right.
So that's why they acquire and over acquire because it's a cheap add-on, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they also need somewhere to dump tailings.
Yes.
However, a recent court decision in the Rosemont mine case south of Tucson actually found that a miner cannot utilize a Forest Service claim exclusively for tailings.
Right.
And yep. so that would prevent them from doing that. However, there's a bill before Congress put out there by Catherine Cortez Masto out of Nevada and supported by Kyrsten Sinema that would actually change the mining law and allow them to use mining claims mm-hmm. just for tailings. So this is an unresolved issue that will have a direct impact on how this thing wow. takes shape. Yeah. So the worst case scenario is, you know, this 900 foot deep, 1400 acre pit gets dug in our mountains right outside of town. That's not going to happen overnight. I mean, you look at a highly competent mining company like Freeport McMoRan, which is based here in Arizona, and it will take them decades to do something.
That's the old Phelps Dodge. Used to own this claim as well.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's another point is like, are there commercially profitable minerals to be extracted here? Phelps Dodge got rid of that land for a reason.
Right.
You know, and they know
what
they're
doing.
They know what they're doing much better than these guys with Gold Paradise Peak. So I have a lot of friends who
have spoken to the guys at GPPEI?
No.
No?
No.
Haven't been able to get hold of anybody.
I haven't tried.
Oh, right.
Interesting. Yeah. It's only been in recent weeks that I've kind of gotten dragged into being more active with this.
Okay, got it.
I've got my hands full with a lot of work and I've got a 3-year-old daughter and
I'm trying to
focus on my family more.
Good for you.
And I've been trying not to get consumed by this, but it seems like the ball is rolling now. So.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of people are getting concerned. You know, there's a lot of politicians, like even Eli Crane's talking about it. He really wants to get involved. And I think it is a big deal. And I think people need to take the time and even go out there. We're going to go out there and get some photos and we're going to be posting them. Some aerial footage and stuff because it's a magnificent forest out there.
It is, and
I saw what you saw with the cut-ins and stuff, and there's some new electrical transformer boxes which are pretty significant. They're better than what the houses have out there that I saw, and you saw them too.
Yeah.
So it's just there are stuff going on, but we're just trying to figure out what it is.
This is a really potentially very significant issue in Yavapai County.
Yes. Yeah.
And I'm so glad that you guys are going after real information.
Yes.
You know, there's lots of hearsay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we tend to want to discount that. And I think from our conversation here, you're looking at the old Senator mine and the mines very close to that.
That's right. So this, the old Senator mine, which for the listeners, if you've never been there, if you just drive out Senator Highway past Groom Creek, the road turns to dirt. There'll be some windy sections. And then eventually you get to where you're overlooking the upper extent of the Hassayampa River, where it's just a little trickle. You can see an old metal,
almost like a bridge looking.
Yeah.
Thing.
Like an old structure, frame and earthwork going on. And that's right. The Senator mine. So that's
that
the northern
structure is actually the old blacksmith shop, we believe.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's where the mining companies would have done all their repairs on their equipment, et cetera.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really a neat spot. Prior to these guys getting really set in there, you could walk down to it and check it out. And it's actually pretty cool and kind of dystopian. It's all covered with graffiti. And
it's actually, some of the drone stuff I've seen, the graffiti is actually pretty beautiful.
It is. It's pretty cool. I've taken a lot of photos down there. It's pretty cool.
We could walk down there July, August. But it's blocked off now as no trespassing.
But that iron structure, actually, the structure itself came from bridges in the area and was brought together in order to make that building in
the turn of the century.
That's really cool.
Yeah, we're going to do several episodes on this Chinese mine. So it's a it's a big topic right now. We've been, like you've been, getting calls and people say, hey, what's going on? So we're spending our time doing it as well. So
great.
Thank you, guys,
joining our show.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Thanks a lot.
Well, thank you very much to Joe and Brenda coming in here to share their knowledge of the mining situation south of Prescott.
Well, they gave us some great insight, and Joe and both of them living out there and what he's seen. And he's been out there several years, and his credentials, you know, he does have really good credentials. So he speaks from what he knows.
Yes, he does. Very impressive. You know, I think the things we learnt were that cadmium and copper and zinc are in those aqueous effluents, as well as the arsenic, of course. So that was a new piece of information for us.
Yeah, and, you know, he witnessed a spill out there through those retention ponds, or whatever they call them, in the report. And then, you know, that's a concern. So we want to make sure that we keep an eye on them out there. We get the public involved in it. And we're going to be, our next show is going to be probably the best show of all, because we're going to recap and we're going to bring in people from the area. Hopefully we'll get back from the mine inspector, things going on, and we can really share the knowledge that we've learned and others.
No, that's an excellent point. I guess the one thing that really shocks me, and we still need confirmation on this, is they're going to strip mine the top of Mount Trital.
Yeah.
Now, that is very concerning. If I were a neighbor in the area, I'd be very concerned about that. And I think even from here in town, we would be as well.
Well, like Joe said, when you're coming down Iron Springs, or you're coming out in that area by the hospital, that's the mountain you see in the distance, and the Bradshaws, and that would be a shame to have strip mining going on there.
It really would.
But, you know, the one of the biggest problems we have is there's not a lot of transparency. You can search all you want online and stuff, and you're not seeing any permits, you're not seeing a lot of this stuff that should be public knowledge, you know. So hopefully when we talk to the mine inspector and others, that we can get some clarity on what's been approved, what has not been approved, the mitigation out there on the arsenic and things like that.
Right. You've got it, Chad. Let's go and look a little bit more, but we'll come back to you with what we find. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for tuning in.
You've been listening to Eye on Prescott. We adore living here, and we want to be your voice to ask the tough questions, hold officials accountable, and you'll never hear us running from a debate. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. We'll be back soon on Eye on Prescott.